Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you for tuning in to Grown Folks Talking, Express Yourself. I am your host, Mr. Forrest Nance, headquartered here in the Brick City, better known as Newark, New Jersey. Now, I'm going to make a couple of quick announcements because my first guest is already in, and she's a deep sister. So I say no more. When she comes on, she's going to give you her bio, and then Brother Rashad is already on with myself, and I think Brother Leon will be joining us very shortly. So, with that being said, family, I hope everybody had a nice week. And I just want to make, like I said, two quick announcements. Once again, thank you for your support of the green tea. All right, a lot of you went to my Facebook. In fact, I had 12 new people that ordered some green tea. Thank you from the bottom of my heart. I really appreciate it. But then again, you're doing your body justice. This is just a piece to the puzzle, family, because there's so many other things that we have to do to keep our bodies nourished and our spirit correct, all right? So, because you know we're going through all types of problems in our community and just worldwide. And also, our dear brother is coming on, Brother Abdul Ishmael. He'll be talking about high blood pressure, diabetes, and also kidney problems. So if you know anybody in your family, give them a quick call. Tell them to tune in, 563-999-3718, all right? And we will entertain questions on both of our guests. All right. So thank you for your support of Green Tea. For the first-time listeners, in case you forgot, you go to my Facebook page, you get a discount on the green tea. Forrest, F-O-R-R-E-S-T, and Nance, N as in never, A as in apple, N as in never, C as in vitamin C, which you should be taking every day, and E is in vitamin E, that very strong antioxidant with tocopherol, if I'm saying it right. I always get tongue-tied on that. But y'all know what I'm talking about. It's in there anyway. You can get your green tea. And 710 on the ECG, the best green tea in the world, family. I'm not just saying that. Go to t4health.com, not the numeric T. Spell it out, old school, F-O-R, all right, T for health, all right? The science is there. So, ladies and gentlemen, this is going to be a very impactful podcast this evening, all right? I want you to get your pen and pads ready. Take notes. And if you have any questions, please hit the number one button. Now, you won't be able to talk until my man, Jay, the technician, brings you in. We call the last four numbers of your cell phone or home phone, your landline, and then you'll be able to talk. So until then, we just keep you on the sideline until we bring you in. It's just like a football play, you know. You know, you can call me from the sideline to make a substitute. That's how we do here, all right? And also, last but not least, I always say support one another. There's a place in Essex County, all right? Anybody who's in Jersey, you can even get on in New York if you want to just travel and get some really good food. Cell Power, Miss Nakia. Hey, listen, I'm going to have Jay come on a little later on. He ate there day before yesterday, and he went back again today. He'll tell you how good the food is. I ain't been there yet. I got to get up there. But she's coming on the 19th to talk about healthy cooking, all right? So if you it's in Bloomfield, New Jersey. It's called Cell Power Cafe, 125 Montgomery Street. Now, fam, you know, always talk about blueberry right here in Newark, all right? But those are the two go-to places, all right? You can go either or. Bloomfield, New Jersey, Essex County, please check it out, all right? If you want some good food, I'm telling you, check it out, okay? Now, without further ado, all right, by way of Brother Michael Collins, our brother who has made the transition, if it wasn't for him, I would have never met this sister. But without further ado, she's going to give you a bio. And then Brother Rashad and myself, until Leon gets here, unless he, when he gets here, well, my technician will let me know. But in the meantime, ladies and gentlemen, I want to bring to the forefront, to the front of the stage, all right, like the Manhattan singer, you know, Gerald Austin. Well, this is Miss Gerald Austin right now. This is Sister Jacqueline Ali, the correct pronunciation, y'all, Jacqueline Ali. Sister Ali, it is my pleasure to bring you on behalf of Brother Rashad. I know who's on the other end. Thank you for coming to Grown Folks Talk and Express Yourself. And, family, she's going to be back because I've been talking to this sister offline. I mean, she hit my spirit. When you hit my spirit, you got to come back. All right? So, Sister Jacqueline, go right ahead, my dear sister. Peace and blessings, and thank you for coming on tonight.
Oh, man. Wow. Brother Forrest, thank you so much. I'm honored to be here. Now, I'm going to be honest, there's a part of me that's a little nervous, but the nervousness is excitement. And and I also want to be able to share fully what your audience is, has questions or just what they want to know in general. So I'm honored to be here.
Honored to have you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
So where should I start?
Well, with your bio, what you do, and just so the podcast audience can basically get a gist of what you're good at. And don't get don't feel bad because my technician will tell you, the first 2 to 3 weeks when I first started my podcast, I was a little nervous too. I was like, am I going to slip up? Am I going to make a mistake? But now, doing this right now is like putting on a pair of sneakers. After a while, we bring you back off. You're going to feel at ease. But anyway, go right ahead, my sister. Give him your bio.
All right.
Then we can take it from there.
Okay. And it's interesting that we're starting off with the bio because when I started my journey, I learned, not right away, but along the way, that life does not travel in a straight line. It has curves and dips and hills and valleys. and you have to really be willing to persevere in order to reach the next step and the next step. I started out as a classroom teacher, and I taught students with special needs, and I did that for 20 years or more. No, it was maybe less. But my mindset was that I was going to do this for the rest of my life. You know, I was going to retire, collect a pension, and all of that good stuff, because that's what my parents instilled in me. But at the 20-year mark or somewhere around in that part, I got this message in my gut that said, it's time to go. And I'm like, go where? I'm not going anywhere. It's time to go. It's time to go. It's time to go. And it was relentless. And even though I took a sabbatical, because I said I can kind of sort this out, figure it out to see what's going on. And the sabbatical was with the intention of me coming back to teach. But when I took the sabbatical, the message, it's time to go, was louder. And it was to the point where I could not ignore it. So I did the proper paperwork and everything to conclude that part of my life. And I'm like, so I got to get a job because I have expenses. I got a mortgage. So I reached out to a friend of mine who was part of an employment agency. And I said, look, I need a job. Can you help me? And she says, yeah, sure. So we went through all of what I needed to go through to sign up and all that kind of stuff. And next thing you know, she assigned me to a pharmaceutical company, and it was in customer service. And you know what? I didn't care because it paid well. And it was enough to cover my expenses and then more. So I'm like, yeah, sure. So I did the customer service piece for a bit, and I'm not going to name the pharmaceutical company. I have reasons for doing that because of a lot of what's going on right now. Mm-hmm. But just know that it's a well-known pharmaceutical company. And we heard that the pharmaceutical company was taking over another one. And when they do takeovers, it's not like a friendly merger. It's a takeover where they move out management and off different folks, and then they put in their people. But they kept the customer service call center team in place because we needed to be able to talk to people when they would call and ask questions about what was going on, whether it was patients calling or physicians or pharmacies or whatever. So they didn't do too much to us until after everything was in place and they were in place. And then once that happened, then they called us in one at a time, had our resume, did a brief interview and so forth. And I'm thinking to myself, okay, well, I guess at this point I will be laid off and I will collect unemployment, but I will still need to go back and get a position. So I said, you know, I have my backup plan. So they interviewed everyone within a matter of 2-3 weeks. And after everyone from the call center was interviewed, they called me back in. And I'm saying to myself, okay, this is it. But what they said to me was that we want you to set up a training team. I said, a what? Yes, a training team, because we need organizations within the way the information is disseminated from the upper departments and things, so that when the information is given to the call center, it's more fluid and accurate. And I'm like, but wait a minute. I said, I am a vegetarian. I'm into herbs. They said, we don't care. You have that background in education and teaching, and so we know, and plus the education your own personal education that we know that you can handle it. So I had to, I meditated over it for a few days and then came back and I accepted it. And again, I knew that this was something that I needed to do. So I was in that industry for 10 years. Got that call again, it's time to go. And I'm like, okay, go where? And then as it turns out, when I got the call, that internal message call, at the same time, a friend of mine was telling me about an administrative position that was made available in the healthcare field. And so I said, you know what, let me go with it because it paid well. At least that's what I was thinking. But as I went through these processes, I realized that this was not arbitrary, that this was a real God spirit plan in place, and that my role was to trust, have faith, and follow the breadcrumbs. So during the time that I was in the healthcare field was when I got the message that I needed to get more involved in holistic medicine, that is naturopathic medicine or naturopathy. So I did that, and that was an intense program. And working in that program, plus working a 9-to-5, and then caring for family members that also had health challenges, it was an interesting, and I'm using the word interesting, it was an interesting lineup of events. And then I got the message, it's time to go. And I'm like, okay. And the way that I was separated from the healthcare field was I was laid off. They eliminated my position. So I was laid off, and I was able to collect unemployment. But that it was with that I was able to start my own practice because I had finished my schooling to become a naturopath. Shall I go on?
Yes,
I'm almost
ma'am.
Finished.
Okay.
Okay,
yes.
I'm almost finished.
You got
okay.
Time, dear. Okay.
All right. Okay. Okay. Mm-hmm. So when I started my practice, there were certain things that I needed to be realistic about in terms of the people that were around in the area in which I lived, and to be decisive as to what services I could offer, because I studied every single non-invasive modality out there, every last one, whether it was herbs, reflexology, any you name it, I studied it. And I said, I can't do it all. So I said, let me go with what I know people would generally need. So I said, they need nutrition in terms of learning not just what to eat, but the combinations of how to put things together, because we, in this country especially, we're driven by taste. And if something tastes good, we're going to eat it. But if our body does not find it to be compatible in terms of how we combine things, then that's where the information needs to be shared. So I said, all right, so I will work on the nutrition, food combining, and so forth. And then if folks have questions or want to focus on herbs, I can give them insight on that. I, at one point, was sharing herbs, but it became, for me, it became very complicated because I needed to maintain inventory and all that, and it was just more than what I wanted to do. And then from that was able to realize that my focus was more on the service part of it and not so much the product. So therefore, I would make recommendations. But then things again came around where I was introduced to a health system that involved energy medicine. And I had studied part of this when I was studying to be a naturopath. And it resonated in my heart so strongly that I said, okay, I'm going to pursue this and see what happens. And so the system that I was introduced to and still incorporate in my practice now is a system called Body Talk, the Body Talk system, which is an energy consciousness-based system which allows me to connect with the energy of that person using kinesiology and being able to ask the body, what does it need? How can I assist it in healing? Because our body knows how to heal. It's just at times it needs help with all of what it's exposed to in these days and times. So Body Talk is the focus of my practice at this point.
Okay.
And that's
now,
my story.
That's a very good story, my sister. Now, sister, I call her Lady J, family out there. Lady J, let me ask you a question. Now, if I came to you, now, how do you normally take your, like if someone wanted to come, would they come see you like a patient would visit a doctor?
They would need to schedule an appointment.
Mm-hmm.
And a person can either call me directly or I usually have them go to my website because there is a description of the Body Talk system on my website. And it gives them a chance to read through it. And then when they call, they can ask questions. And one thing I don't do is I don't talk people into coming to see me. It truly has to resonate within their heart. So if they read the website and they ask questions, but they still need time to meditate and pray over it, I'm like, take the time. Because if it's for you, it's for you. If it's not and you need to go into another direction, that's okay. Did I answer it for you?
Okay. With that being said, Brother Rashad, I'm going to ask the sister some questions, but now we're going to do like a little round table, sister. Go right ahead. Brother Rashad or Brother Leon, question for Sister Ali?
Yes, Sister Ali.
Yes. Hi, Brother Rashad. Yes.
Oh, it's a pleasure to meet you over the phone.
Thank you.
And I'm so happy to hear a sister who's into natural health. That makes me feel real good. And
Thank you.
And I'm just glad that you went to school and learned this and applying it, because we need more of this in our community. Our community is starting to wake up somewhat. I notice a lot of people are turning more towards herbs and changing their diet, because I always suggest people to always start with your diet. You have to, detox from all the junk that you eat and just get back to nature, getting back to what God created for us. And
Absolutely.
We also know that the herbs is part of the Creator's garden, and that's where we find a lot of healing. So anyway, I just want to ask, how long have you been into naturopathy?
Okay. I completed my program in 2007.
Oh, great. Okay. That's good. Okay. And I got into naturopathy background. Well, I've been practicing health for about 10 years now. And as everybody knows on this podcast, I'm a vegan, and I eat from nature's all plant-based diet. And, I drink my herbal teas, and I don't take any medication. I don't have any of that in my system. And that's what I share that with people. I do lectures, and more so lectures. But since COVID, I haven't been able to get out there do lectures because they had shut everything down, but that's
I understand,
my forte right now. And, you know, we need more naturopaths out here, you know, to school and educate our community and to get them away from all the bad habits they have. I just talked with a friend of mine today. I felt kind of bad for his wife. She had a stroke and hospital, and she got some paralysis. Her mind is in and out. And so I asked, I said, brother, how was your wife's diet? He said, she eats a lot of McDonald's French fries and this and that. I said, you ever talk to her about dietary habits? You know, she's going to do what she wants to do, this and that. I said, okay, but that's all I want to know. We're going to pray for her or whatever, and but you got to talk to her. You got to talk to her, brother, you know. They got to make changes. But that's the key. All this toxic food is killing our people, right? And I know you know that. And so in your consultations, I'm sure probably the bottom line is the diet, right?
No, it's a part of it. It's inclusive, but it's not the bottom line, because I understand and know that when we have experiences, be it favorable or unfavorable, we process them through our thinking, through our emotions, and we have a tendency as humans to fall back on habits. So that if we have an experience that triggers a certain emotion that is favorable, we're going to celebrate.
Okay.
If we have an experience that is going to trigger a certain emotion that's unfavorable, we're going to respond in a different way. So I had to be able, in fact, I still do, put them together because of how we process our environment. That, and I've had so many instances where people were eating the way that they should eat. You know, they weren't involved in any fast foods or anything like that, or even animal-based products. But they still had certain health challenges. And in finding out or really exploring that further, there were certain fears that they had that had not been resolved, or certain angers that they had not been resolved. So therefore, I would applaud them for what they've done in terms of their eating habits, and then I'm able to use body talk to get to the whatever emotions or thinking processes that are involved with that person, be it harmonious or inharmonious, because I know when we process things, it's never in one track. We humans include all of those factors.
That's what I wanted you to bring out. You know, because, emotions, your mental health, all that's, you know, the whole thing. And so, you know, body, mind, spirit, whatever.
Yes.
Style is so important, because we know, even if you eat a good diet, if you have a good diet, but if you're thoughts are negative and you know, you're into drama and stuff, it's not really going to help you much.
That's right. And however, the recovery is a little better, a little faster, but it still means, what are the things that I can do for myself to really help minimize those things? Because there's not going to ever be a time when we will not experience our existence here on this earth plane using our thoughts and emotions. It's how we're wired as humans. It's how we're wired. It's always going to be. So it's a matter of learning and finding out ways in which we can incorporate balance. And as corny as this may sound, but I don't care if it's corny or not, incorporate love, unconditional love.
100% right. It's not corny. You're right.
Sometimes corny's good.
Corny is good.
Sometimes corny is true.
There you go.
And you know, when it comes to the whole idea of unconditional love, they don't get hung up on the love piece. They get hung up on the unconditional.
Yes, sister, yes.
Because they're looking, well, if this one does this to me, you mean I'm supposed to still love them? Yes, but it's not so much loving them as you first loving yourself unconditionally. Recognizing, yes, I am a work in progress. I pick my nose, I scratch my butt, I do a lot of different things, but I am still worthy of unconditional love because I am working on being and becoming the best me that I can be. And I love where I am. I love what I do. But, yes, there's more work to be done.
Now,
so
let
when
me ask
we
you,
feel,
okay,
oh,
good.
I'm sorry.
No, sister. No. I'm sorry. I thought you had stopped before a minute. I thought that was it. But go right ahead. Finish. No. I don't want to interrupt.
Okay. So when we just, and I'll just say this last part briefly.
When we fill
ourselves with unconditional love for ourselves, that's what comes out to others. You know, I've had people tell me, oh, that's selfish, da 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 da. No, because it's the unconditional part that says, yes, I'm a work in progress. But it's also saying that I'm filling my vessel with love because then that's what comes out to others. I know you have had experiences where you walk by somebody and it's like, ew, you know, they just felt funky. Yeah, and it's for that reason that the unconditional love should and must, if that's at all possible, start with self. But it's work. Forgiveness, all that whole thing. Okay.
Right. Well, on that note, now let's say, have you ever had someone that came to you as a patient or someone that wanted your advisement on something, and let's say they had a good spirit about themselves, okay, and really didn't have any anger issues or really didn't have too many hang-ups. They came to you and said, "Well, Sister Ali, you know, I'm happy and I'm not angry at anybody. I never hold a grudge. You know, sometimes when people come at me the wrong way, like Brother Wiley gets up here and says, you knock out negativity with positivity. I'm that type of guy, you know, happy-go-lucky. And still, they had maybe they still had a situation where maybe in that kind of situation, have you ever recommended like herbs or maybe a cleanse for that particular person? Because you found out, hey, besides what you just named the two main culprits, anger and issues with different things, have you ever found it to be maybe not as much as the other two what you named to find out to be the culprits or the problems? But do you ever find something that maybe you said, that's why you came to me, and the person couldn't find out, if you understand where I'm going with this. Maybe they didn't even know where
exactly
to put their
where
finger.
You're going.
Yeah, they didn't know where to put their finger, and then you brought it out and said, But most of the time, it's far few and in between that you run into a person like that that's happy, free-spirited, but they feel like something is void in their life or there's something they're not doing.
Yes. You know, there's the physical part of handling what's going on with the person. But because, you know, this earth plane, we learn primarily through experience. Sometimes people can tell us things and we get it, but for the most part, we get it from experience. Mm-hmm. Many times I have, I'd say most of my clients who come to me because they have certain experiences or certain things that they're trying to sort out either in their career, especially their career, or their next steps in relationship or something in family. And so we're able to sort out the things that the person needs to focus on so that they can be able to make decisions on their own. I don't tell them what to do. Now, understand that when I do body talk, I use kinesiology, which is a fancy name for muscle testing. And it's a matter of asking yes and no questions. Mm-hmm. And so if a person has a question, I can ask their body yes or no because of the energy that's within that I'm tapping into. But it's not a matter of telling their fortune and they're going to do this and be rich and all that kind of stuff. No, it's
right.
Just giving them the tools, helping clear out so that they can do what's needed to hopefully make the decisions, the next decisions that they need to make. And if they need to receive consultation from someone else, go for it. You know, I'm not a one-stop place. If a person needs to go to a counselor because of something ongoing that they really want to work on, hey, I can make some referrals for you. If a person wants, if they're experiencing physical pain ongoing and they want to have acupuncture, I can make some referrals. So it really, it's not a one-size-fits-all. Even
right.
if a person may come in, two people may come in with the same complaint, so to speak, and I use that term loosely, but the same concern, I don't recommend the same thing because each person's experience getting them to where they are is unique and different. So therefore, I use body talk to help sort all that out.
With that being said, my dear sister, and hold on, Brother Leon, you're next. I'm going to bring you right in. Mm-hmm. I know you got either a comment or a question to ask. This is our brother from Atlanta City, New Jersey. I want to ask you another question now.
Sure.
And I share with my podcast family. I'll be 65 April the 10th, and I was talking about it, Sister Ali. My Medicare kicks in. They're giving me Part B, which means I can see a specialist, massage, acupuncture. And I want to do the acupuncture thing, all right, because I've always had a gym membership since 1986. And I've
mm-hmm.
done so many push-ups. I got diagnosed with when I did my MRI with carpal tunnel syndrome.
Mm-hmm.
All right, because sometimes
mm-hmm.
I could just feel a little give. It's not pain, but it's like a little give in my thumbs, all right? And
yeah.
you could feel it,
mm-hmm.
whereas though 25 years ago you didn't feel that, but little did I know, because if I could go back in time, I would have changed my training technique in the gym, because
yeah.
back then it was
you
macho man. Yeah, macho
yeah.
man in the gym, trying to follow the weights, my buddies against your buddies, that type of thing, you know.
Uh-huh.
We had a name for that, but I can't say that because we don't get graphic on here. You know, but
I understand.
But, you know, but quick question: do you know of any good? Because I know you're headquartered up there in PA. Because my brother got a 215 too. I'd just like to know: do you have any good acupuncturists here in New Jersey? Because I'm a search for one starting next month.
Mm-hmm.
Do you happen to know one in New Jersey?
I honestly don't know of any, because my resources have been more local in Philadelphia, and
right.
because that's what people want. They want someone that's close by, nearby. So
right.
I apologize, but I don't really have anyone that comes to mind at this time in your New Jersey area that specializes in acupuncture. But you know what, though? Trust yourself that as you go through your research and you're looking at different ones, there's going to be someone or maybe a couple of someone that their energies will just pop out to you. And you go through, read their information, and just go trust your spirit that you will be led to someone that will be a beginning step. And if that person becomes long-term, so be it. If it's just one time for that person, just for you to get the intro, and that's fine, and then you can explore others. But trust yourself in your choice.
In my search, yeah. I did it back in 2007. I went for three or four treatments, and it was good. A lot of people were scared of needles, but I tell people, you don't really feel it. If they stick you in 12 or 13 different places, you might, out of those 13 times, you might feel two pricks. But it's nothing.
Exactly.
You know? So
exactly.
I'm going back. I'll find one. I know they have one in Jersey City, New Jersey, but I'll find one. I was looking, you know.
Yeah.
And let me ask you a question. Have you ever had acupuncture done?
Oh, heck yeah.
Now, let me
Absolutely.
Ask you a question. And let me ask you a question. And I got some of my Caucasian friends that listen, so I ain't trying to be racial. In your experiences now, have you ever had an Asian acupuncturist and then maybe a Caucasian and then an African-American acupuncturist? Have you ever had different ethnicities?
Yes, and yes.
Okay, so who have you found in the time that you went? Were they all equal across the board in terms of how you felt after you got treatment from them, or who would you highly recommend? Because, you know, right away people say, oh, you got to go to the Asian, because, you know, the Kung Fu and the Karate and the acupuncture, which is part of their culture, you know. Who would you recommend, or doesn't really matter? It depends on the person or what?
For me, it didn't matter. I had representatives from all three cultures. And in fact, the last time I got an acupuncture session was at a community acupuncture group, and all of them were Caucasian female. I didn't care. They did what they needed to do. Years ago, and for me, I was exploring Chinese medicine and all of the parts of that, and I had an Asian person. One of my closest friends is African American. You know, that's why it really has to be someone whose energy resonates with the person.
Practice, right. And the person, right.
Yes.
Right, they feel it.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to get back. Because I know with Chinese medicine, they also use in certain treatments, they use glandulars. Am I correct? Like they take from the pig, they take from different animals, correct?
From my recollection, yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
I just asked that because I was watching, I don't know if you're familiar with this brother out of Grenada, Patrick Dells. And the brother is a master herbalist. You know, Google him. The brother has a good sense of humor, and he talks about glandulars. And he forbids, he doesn't eat flesh food. He'll tell you in a minute. And then he does practice Chinese medicine, but he stays away from that aspect of Chinese medicine, you know.
Understood.
Because
Fine.
But anyway, Brother Leon, you got something to ask the sister?
Yeah, first I want to say thank the sister for coming on Grown Folks Talk, Express Yourself Podcast Family.
Thank you.
That was a lot of information that came across, you know, just in this session that, you know, we've been on. It was a lot of information, a lot of good information. And one of the things I want to say is that I'm glad that you brung out, and I'm going to take it one step farther. I'm glad that you brung out that you could be doing everything right as far as your health and your eating, and you still may have some issues going on, personally or otherwise, because right now, one of the highest things of death is, you know, this depression.
Mm-hmm.
High rates of depression when you bring up our emotions and our feelings, you know.
Yeah.
That stress and depression will take us up out of here more so than anything else today. And take it one step farther. When Most High, the creator of all things, life coming and going, when he says it's your time, no matter how you live in, it's time to go. And there's nothing
that's
to
right.
be stuck. No, there's no
and
no,
no one
that, no
yes. And no one wakes up dead. They're always told ahead of time so
yeah.
that if there's a need for preparation in whichever way, the person knows.
Yeah, so I was glad that you flung that out because that was definitely real important for the family to hear that. But still, we should get our bodies to be alkaline no matter what.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
But we can definitely help ourselves be here a little longer.
And you know what? I'm sorry. I apologize. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
You know, one of the things that we focus on is longevity. And that's all well and good. But know that we come here for a purpose and a mission. We don't just show up. We come here for a reason. And it's a matter of having the appropriate health in place so that we can fulfill our mission and our purpose. And then when it comes time for us to transition, it's because our work is finished.
Mm-hmm.
We can transition from health challenges if we so desire, but it doesn't have to be that way. It can be because we have finished our work, our purpose, our mission.
Yes,
those
one
words
of the
so profound, my sister.
Yeah. The other thing I want to share is that what you said wasn't corny at all. It was actually truth and facts, and a lot of us don't love ourselves. Because
mm-hmm.
we don't know how to. I came up half of my life not loving myself, but loving everybody else more than I love myself. Then when it was time
mm-hmm.
to love myself, I didn't even know how to.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know where to begin because I was too busy worrying about taking care and loving everybody else in my circle. So, you know, what you said wasn't nowhere near corny to me. And we should be want to be loved by be unconditional love because that's where it's at. Because if you give it, you should definitely want to receive it back.
Yes, that's the way it cycles.
Yes.
You know, it's not mystery. It's almost, I guess it's kind of science-y, physics, in that energy circulates.
Yes.
So what you put out is what comes back.
That's right. Not always, but just not enough these days.
Yeah.
Just not enough. Yes. And when you ask someone a question, another question I want to ask you, when you ask one of your clients a question, you said it's a yes or no answer. Is everything yes and no?
When I'm doing the session and I'm doing kinesiology to get the yes and no, I'm actually talking to the energy within that person, that person's body, their spirit, so that the conscious mind can't control because the spirit energy part is now given voice. And I'm able to, there are certain movements in kinesiology whereby I can calibrate a yes and a no based on the question. So
okay.
It's not the person's mind and their thinking that's answering the question. Many times my folks will fall asleep, you know, because I have them on a massage table. And so, and I say everything out loud. So it's not like I'm doing it silently and then da-da. No, I say it all out loud. And I have a chart that I call my roadmap that helps keep things organized. And the spirit and energy within that person connects with mine and knows that I know it, so therefore it gives them voice. It gives it voice. Does that make sense, what I just said?
It makes a lot of sense to me. I understood exactly what you were saying, yes.
Okay.
Okay, Rashad, you want to ask Sister Ali something?
I wanted to share something with you because you had asked about an acupuncturist. Mm-hmm. There is a brother in our area. His name is Brian. He's an acupuncturist. If I have to get the number to you later, okay?
Okay.
And it's very, very humble brother, very nice brother. And so I'm going to find out if he's I'm not sure if he's located in Montclair now or Bloomfield. But I will find out, and I'll let you know, okay?
Oh,
mm-hmm.
Okay, cool. Cool,
good,
I appreciate
good,
that.
Good.
Yeah, because I
put it out there, and there it is.
There it
there
is,
you
right?
Go.
And Sister Ali, Rashad is just a telephone call away. He's the next town over, so that brother's local, you know what I'm saying? So that's
all
not
right,
a problem.
All right,
Sister Ali, I'm glad you mentioned about you're here for a purpose. You can be
yeah.
healthy as you want, but when it's time to go, it's time to go. It's like Malcolm. The brother had his purpose here. Martin had his purpose here. They died young, but they left what was needed to be left, you know? And
mm-hmm.
how we got things. And I'm like this. I feel so good about myself, knowing I have good health and everything, you know? I'm doing what I do best. And when it's time for me to go, I'm fine with it. I don't fear death.
Yes.
Nothing. But I just want
yes.
to know I did something good to help people or help the society or whatever. I did something worthwhile. And not leaving
yeah.
here just laying around doing nothing with my life. When you have a
yes.
purpose and you go out there and you do it, you feel so good. You can leave here and you say, man, I'm good.
Yeah.
I got to go. It's no problem.
Yeah.
You know, so,
and
yeah,
you know
I'm glad you did share that aspect there because that is a fact.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a few years back, I can't remember how long ago, but a few years back, I got this, I guess, this epiphany kind of thing because, I know what, there were so many people that were transitioning. You know, there's a lot during this time, but in my personal life years ago, there were a lot of people transitioning. And I had a conversation with my creator. And there's in some lifestyles, religions, there's a format. In this instance, I didn't have a format. I just had a conversation. And I said, look, I know that my time here is within a certain framework because of just the energy of this place. What I'm asking for is to make sure that I fulfill my mission. I do not want to transition because of health challenges. What I want to do is to be able to do what I can for my own personal health, as well as for those that I can assist. And when the time comes, I want to just step off. Whether I'm sitting down watching TV or laying in the bed or whatever it is, just step off and not go through a whole bunch of suffering. No. And
me
I know
too.
It's going to happen.
I
know it's going to happen. I just don't know when. And that's okay. I'm not concerned about the when.
No, we're not worried about that. Yeah, exactly, exactly. And I'm sure all four of us feel the same way. I hope some of the people in the podcast only do, because there might be a few people listening and say, oh, don't worry, because when it happens, you can't help it. Nobody leaves Earth alive.
And you know well in advance. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's right. That's right. But that's why I started this podcast, Sister Ali, along with Rashad, Leon, and some of my podcast members, because we're trying to do what we can to keep our bodies as healthy as possible. The Creator gave us this shelter to house our souls, our minds, and our organs. And you got to take care of yourself, family, you know?
Absolutely.
We all got sad stories to tell about people that we respected growing up, and they just made that wrong turn, messing, you know, self-medicating and things like that, you know? And it's just so unfortunate. I'm sure we all may have family members, like I said, people we admire that were not family members, you know? So let me ask you a quick question, sis, right quick.
Sure.
Because I'm going to test your herbal skills real quick. All right.
oh my gosh. Oh goodness. Yes. Okay.
We got a brother coming on. I want you to just kick back. Now you can open up your organic popcorn with some apple juice and listen to brother Abdul coming on next. Because he's going to talk about diabetes, high blood pressure. I'm not trying to steal his thunder, because he's going to recommend. He might piggyback off of what you're saying and say, oh, the sister might have also said this. But, okay, let's say if somebody had high blood pressure, what herbs would you recommend?
Oh, jeez. I'm going to be honest with you. I really don't know, because I would ask that person's body, what do they need?
Oh, okay, with the body talk program, okay.
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
Okay. So now let's just say, okay, has anybody came to you, give us an example. Has anybody come to you with take your pick of the three, a kidney, a liver, or high blood pressure, all right, an organ problem, and somebody talks to you. Let's stick with a kidney situation, because a lot of the people, man, around here, dialysis is popping up like they're building new Burger Kings, okay? And let's just say, as anybody came to you with a kidney problem, and it might be Mr. X or Mrs. Z, and then when they did the body talk program, can you remember off the top of your head? It doesn't have to necessarily be kidneys. Can you remember your most recent person that came to you and you actually recommended a certain type of formula with the herbs for them to take for their particular ailment, because their body talked to you? Can you remember a formula that you might have given somebody with a particular ailment?
Okay. What I have learned, one of the things that I do that really works for me is that I like to incorporate a network of folks that I can set up referrals. So when a person comes to me with a particular health challenge, it doesn't matter what it is, I say and it comes up that they need certain herbs, I refer them to an herbal specialist who is in the area that can say boom, boom, boom. And so, therefore, it's the person has a chance to have some options, not only in terms of the formula, but also in terms of the pricing.
Right.
So
right.
I really have had to be able to refer that part out to others who focus on that exclusively, so that I am supporting other people who are in the healthcare field, healthcare field, rather than me having all the answers. No, I don't want to be that person. I'm like, oh, you have this? Let's handle it emotionally, nutrition, those kinds of things. And if it comes up that they need herbal formulas, I'm like, here, you need to talk to X, Y, and Z. And then I also will reach out to X, Y, and Z and say, this person needs this from you, that from you, and so forth. And then
now,
it worked that way.
Right. With that being said, because time is winding now, I'm going to ask my technician, because I don't want nobody to get mad at me sitting in the podcast. So I've been on the number one button. I can't get in. So, Jay, do we have anybody hit the number one button? Hey, y'all out there, hit the number one button if you have a question for Sister Jay, because time is winding down.
Yes, we do. Yes, we do.
Okay, bring them on in, Jay. We have your first caller calling in, Sister Ali.
Oh, nice.
3926, you live.
3926 is Mr. Abdul Ismail. It's your next guest.
That's the next guest, Jay. That's our guest.
See, that's what I'm talking about. He's ready. See, that's what I'm saying. Make the referral. Yeah, make the referral.
Not the number that was on the call. I just used my house phone. It just made it a little easier. And be
that's why,
phone.
Jay, use the house.
Uh-huh.
Okay. I gave your cell number, Brother Ismail. That's what it was.
Not a problem.
Okay.
Not a problem.
Okay, yeah, well, keep him unmuted. Do we have anybody else hitting the number one button, Jay, at the time?
No, not at this time.
Not at this time. Okay. So, Sister
that
Ali.
Was not a coincidence. That was not a coincidence. That was supposed to happen the way it did.
I didn't have those last four numbers, so I'm glad he did hit the one button. That, you're right about that.
Yeah.
And now
that's your specialty. Yeah.
Yeah, and y'all can exchange information. On that note, Sister Ali, can you give the people out there that are listening, because a lot of times they like to listen and sometimes they just call in depending on the topic, but I'm sure you informed them very well, because this audience always has pen and paper in tow. So I'm not taking out information, but could you give me your contact information in case they need to call you?
Absolutely. I'll give you both contact information as well as my website. My website is www.mydralee.com. MYDRALI.com. And on there, it has the information regarding body talk, nutrition, and so forth. And I always try to get people to at least have some frame of reference when we're talking. My telephone number is 215-360-4110. That's 215-360-4110. If I am available, I will answer. If I'm not available, if I don't pick up and it goes to voicemail, please leave a message and I always call you back. Okay?
Why did everybody get quiet?
Hey, can I say one thing? I just want to say something to Dr. Ali. I'm coming up next, but I got to say, I've actually done body talk before, and I actually got very, very good results from it. I was a doctor in Irvington, New Jersey, by the name of Dr. Joseph, like Dr. Joe. And I was having some health issues, and I couldn't figure it out. And I went to him, and it was they said something was going on with my heart. But he did body talk, and it was not any herb or any nutrient I could take. I had some emotions stuck in my heart that he said that needs to be released. And he did that, and it made all of the difference in the world. So I am a big proponent of body talk. I know it works. It worked personally for me. It has worked for some of my family members, where you get this energy stuck in organs that affect the organs, the emotions that affect the organs, and really makes your health worse, and you can't figure out what's causing it. And that's a way on how to actually release those emotions, because emotions have physical responses. So, I'm a firm believer in body talk. So thank you for coming on. This was
thank
good.
Thank you for sharing your testimony. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
No problem.
Got a late notification, Dr. Ali. Somebody who's on, I want to see if they probably want to ask you a question or make a comment. Jay, you could bring the person in.
We actually got a bunch of people just popped up, so we're just going to do them one at a time, I guess.
Sure.
All right. Five, three, nine.
Hello,
you live.
Hello, how you doing, Dr. Ali? My name is Dr. James. How are you doing?
Hi.
I have a couple of questions.
Good. How are you doing, Dr. James?
Fine. With this body talk, I'm just curious on how it works. How does the body really, like, you said you base it on muscle movement or
muscle
joint movement?
Muscle testing. Muscle
okay,
testing.
Okay, so what kind of
tests
are you doing?
I calibrate because we are energy beings. I calibrate with the energy in the body, letting it know that I'm going to ask questions. And when the answer to the question is yes, this is the type of movement that I would want to say yes. If the answer is no, this is the movement that would indicate no. So the body then is able to calibrate what's the yes and what's the no, and then I go ahead and ask the question. And by doing it that way, it keeps my ego out of it. I'm not guessing. I'm not diagnosing. I'm not, you know, I'm asking questions. I have to study a lot because I have to know what to do next. When I get a certain answer, if I get a no, then what do I do next? If I get a yes, then what do I do next?
Well, what do you mean by the body movement? What are you saying that, like, you may be checking, like, say, the bicep muscle, and you're seeing if there's a contraction? Or, I mean, I don't understand what you mean by that.
Okay.
I know kinesiology is the movement of joints with muscles, yeah. But I mean, like, you're saying a movement. I'm trying to figure out, like, is it a contraction or, you know, is there a specific muscle you're checking?
You're asking an excellent question. What I do is I use the person's wrist. I use the wrist, the right, on the right side, because that's the side of that I sit on. You know, they're on a table. And I ask the person's body, I tell the person's body, and I say it out loud. I said, I'm going to ask you, and I talk to the body as an entity because it is. And I said, body, I'm going to ask you questions. And if the answer to the question is yes, I'm going to lift the wrist and I want movement. So then we test it out, and the body gives the response to show that it understands that lifting the wrist and movement means yes. If I ask a question and the answer is no, I want resistance. So then I test that out and I ask the body, show me no. And the resistance is there. And show me yes. And then it moves smoothly. It lifts smoothly. And then, you know, I'll ask some arbitrary questions so that we know that the person that's on the table is not manipulating this, because I've had that happen as well early on. And once we get that clear yes and no, then that's the way I ask the questions, using the wrist. And I ask, where do you want healing? Because the body prioritizes what it wants first, second, or third. It's not about me saying, do you want this first? Do you want that second? I ask the body, what do you want to do? What's your priority? And based on the chart that I have, it will narrow down the priority, because the energy that's within that person merges with mine so that it is able to know that I know that chart, and therefore can give the clear and correct yes and no.
What kind of questions are you asking?
I ask the body based on priority, because I know the body will prioritize what it wants, not what we think it wants, because the human part of us wants to go to the pain. We were having pain and discomfort. So I ask the body, where is your priority? And then I use the chart, and I ask, is the priority in this section of the chart, or section 1, section 2, section 3, section 4? And based on the section that comes up, I then delved deeper into the area and the specifics that the body wants to focus on. And then I help the body release if there's stuff that needs to be released emotionally. I just assist the body in doing that. But the body knows how to do it. It just needs help.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Brother James.
Does that
James.
Answer
appreciate
it for you?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
That's Brother James. You're on every, that's my man every week, Dr. James. Hey, James, who's the next caller? Abdul, you coming right up, brother. Give me a second. We got late callers calling.
8315, you live.
Greetings. Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
It's Anetta.
Greetings. Good evening.
Hey, Dr. Ali, I've never heard of you, but this I called in a little bit late. And I heard you, I got in at the part where you were talking about self-love and or loving, something about loving. And I was like, wow, this person is really speaking some good stuff. And I didn't capture the whole broadcast, and I hope to be able to hear it, to listen to a playback. But I wanted to ask you, because I am familiar with the body talk. Well, I didn't know it as that. I knew it as kinesiology. And I was exposed to it about maybe 5 or 10 years ago. And I wanted to ask you, just from your perspective, because I'm not sure what stage you're in either, when we're dealing with chronic issues, so let's say a person has chronic hip issues, a chronic back problem, a lot of the time, would you say from your experience and your observation, it is that undressed emotional issue?
Absolutely. Because the emotions that are involved are different for each person, because as humans, all of our experiences, without exception, all of our experiences include our thoughts, thinking, and our emotions. We don't separate them because that's how we're wired. So there is an emotional component that goes with it. And the emotions for one person with, say, a hip issue is not going to be the same emotions with someone else who has hip issues because of their life experiences.
Got it. And that's why sometimes a person may have a surgery for a problem like a knee replacement or, let's say, fibroids or something with the gynecological area, and they may have to have it again because they're not properly addressing the emotional cause, the emotional aspect.
Exactly.
The same thing, right?
Exactly.
Okay.
Yes. Now, it doesn't mean that the surgery was unnecessary, because it may come up that the surgery was the best thing. But with body talk, its focus is getting to the cause. What's causing the problem so that that cause can be healed and balanced and released depending upon what it is.
That's awesome. Thank you so much. I look forward to connecting with you, and I'll try to listen to the playback because it sounds like it was a very good topic, and I'm very familiar with the kinesiology. And so I think everyone should actually see a body talk specialist if that's how you refer to yourself, Dr. Ali. I believe in what you do, although I haven't met you yet. So thank you for sharing.
Well, thank you. Thanks for coming on. Thank you.
And also, just to let you know before I let it go, she was a guest through Michael Collins on my show, Dr. Ali. Yes. So, Anetta, I know you and Michelle have been talking. We're going to bring you back soon. So stay in contact, sister.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
I appreciate you. Thank you for coming on. Okay, this is the last call. We got to bring Brother Abdul on. Jay, do we have one more?
Mm-hmm.
I love the number three.
No, we don't have anybody else at this time.
That's it for now. Okay, good. So, family, once again, you have that information. People came on late. Dr. Ali, before we bring on Brother Abdul, you want to give out your information one more time?
Absolutely. My website is, www.mydrali.com, M-Y-D-R-A-L-I ALI.com. And my telephone number is 215-360-4110. And I primarily practice in the Philadelphia area.
Okay, so with the city of brotherly love, been a little crazy down there lately. I've been hearing about the craziness going on down there in Philly. I know. Ooh, I'm telling you.
That's another conversation.
I know. We're going to talk
about that.
Because
I don't
want
to take up more time, because I want Brother Abdul to get his time. But
of course, I said I'm going to bring you back. You got to come back, sis. Yeah, we love you. We love you already.
Okay.
So on behalf of Brother Rashad, peace and blessings, Brother Leon, and also Brother Abdul. He came in for a reason, the body talk. We didn't have his new last four numbers. So, like you said, everything happens for a reason. Sister, I will be in contact with you. I got your number. I'm going to bring you back very soon. So, podcast audience, this is Dr. Jacqueline Ali. Take care, peace and blessings. And sister,
and, I also want to say a thank you to my brother, Michael Collins. Even though he's not here physically, energetically, I truly believe he's with us.
He is. We miss that brother, You take care, sister. And I'll be in contact.
All right. Thank you. Okay.
Thank
sounds
you.
Good.
All right. Okay, ladies. You like that, huh?
Yeah.
You like that. Okay, that comes from my man Jay. That's our technician. That's his brainchild. Okay, Brother Abdul, you on now. Brother and Brother Rashad are going to MC that. Go ahead, Brother.
What's up, Brother Rashad? Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu, my brother. Good to hear from
you.
How
you doing? Good to see you.
Great.
Good to hear from you.
Yeah, before I say anything, I just want to thank Sister Jacqueline Ali. That was beautiful information that we need, and I just learned a little something myself. So thank you, sister, and if you're still listening, thank you. So my brother, now, listen, audience, I know this brother. I know his family, beautiful family, believe me, beautiful family. And I know Abdul been into health for quite a while. He used to have the health food store up here in Irvington, New Jersey.
Yeah.
And he's very well-versed in herbs and everything. So I want to ask you, Abdul, if you can just give some background, how you got into health and anything else, your bio or whatever. Could you share that with us?
Okay, easily. Thank you for allowing me to be on your show today. It's my first time doing a podcast, so I'm going to try to make it quick and concise. So I guess when you think about starting in nutrition, it kind of started with my mother and father. My mother started a food co-op back in the early 80s to early 90s. She was one of the first to have a food co-op in Newark, New Jersey. So growing up, I was exposed to eating organic back in the 80s. You know, things that's considered normal now were not normal back then, and we were one of the first in our community doing those things. So we grew up vegetarian. I grew up eating organic. I grew up eating soy and I guess anything you could think of back, rice cakes and all those things back in the 70s, like 80s and early 90s. So transition into that, it kind of like piqued my interest with nutrition. My father was into the medical field. My sister ended up going into the medical field, so I thought I was going to be a doctor. When I got to college, that was my goal, was to be a doctor. Instead, I switched my degree, and I went into nutrition. So I graduated from Montclair with a background in nutrition with a concentration in dietetics. So I was planning on becoming an RD, but instead I ended up opening up a health food store. Well, not necessarily opening up one, excuse me, buying a health food store from a lady I work with named Gail Best. It used to be called Irvington Health Food. I changed it to Naturally Yours Health Food in the early 2000s. I owned that health food store for about 8 to 9 years, and then as the recession hit, it hit my business too, and it caused a lot of issues. So I had to end up closing that business and going to work for another company. But then in 2012, I opened up, I created my own marketing company, and it was all geared in the health food industry. So I did that for up until 2020, March 2020, when my marketing company had to be closed because Corona shut down my business. So I end up working at Olive May Health Food for the last 2 years, because during the time of Corona, what my company did was we marketed to health food products in supermarkets, Costco's, and all that. You've seen people that do demonstrations. Well, my company hired and educated people to do that, but in the nutrition field and the supplement field. So that's what I did for majority of my time. And now I'm working in Olive May, and I'm advising people on nutrition and things like that. So the background in which I have, I've been working in sort of the supplement, nutrition, vitamin field for about 25, 26 years. Started, what, 96? So, or 94, excuse me, 94. So I've been doing it for a little while, since high school. So I'm, you know, going on 44 this year, so I've been doing it a while. So that's kind of like my background in a nutshell. You know, supplements, nutrition, education, all that stuff, all in one.
And, yes, Abdul, I've seen you in Whole Foods doing presentations certain new items that came out. And, you know, and your sister also. I've seen her.
I employed at one point in time.
See her there too, you know, and it was always refreshing to see y'all, you know, because y'all are nice people. So anyway, so my brother, we want to know some information as far, you know, we have a lot of high blood pressure in our community, a lot of diabetes, just like Brother Forrest is saying. You see dialysis centers popping up like McDonald's, you know. So
yeah,
and then also. Kidney problems. So could you maybe talk on that, maybe, you know, share some information of things people can do or what they can take for those different types of ailments?
Well, the thing is that, especially in our community, blood pressure, diabetes, they kind of go hand in hand, it seems like. And then if you're a diabetic or you have blood pressure problems, it usually can cause issues with your kidneys. So these, they're kind of like I said, go hand in hand. Most people have their diet. Brother Rashad, you know this. It's the diet. People just not eat healthy. And I don't completely blame them, because we eat like our parents. Most of the time, unless we make dietary changes, we usually eat like our parents. I was blessed to be able to grow up where my mother and father was really proactive about making sure we ate fruits and vegetables. We were vegetarian. So, you know, we did all our alternatives. They made sure they practiced yoga and we exercised and all those other things like that. So my dietary habits are different. So when I look at it, it's normal for me to eat 3 or 4 green vegetables a day. It's not hard for me. It's normal for me to eat fruit every day. The problem is most people, it's not normal. It's normal for them to grab a bag of potato chips. It's normal for them to wake up and have sausage, bacon, and egg and a cup of coffee for breakfast. You know, it's normal for them to have for lunch. It's nothing for them to have pizza with pepperoni or drink a soda and all those things. And then they don't understand why they're having these health issues, because you're causing a tremendous amount of inflammation in the body, because your body is not able to detox, because you're clogging up your liver, because you're causing all this excess sodium in the kidneys, all these things like that that's causing your blood pressure to go up. So these are the things that our community is dealing with. So what I try to do at the store as much as I can outside of giving them supplements is educate them on little things they can do. I tell somebody one of the things you got to change is you got to start having more, I say, colors in your food. So what I mean by colors in your food, your plate should not be all white. You should not have chicken, like corn and rice. You know, you got to have some colors. You got to eat like the rainbow. So if you're going to have a meal, start eating like the rainbow. A minimum of 3 colors on your plate. So maybe you can have a green, a red, and a white. Or maybe you can have a brown, a purple, and a green. Something of that nature where in which you're getting more colors that allows you to get more antioxidants into your diet, that helps you to get, usually because colorful fruits and vegetables and things that are giving you more fiber into your diet, things that's going to protect your heart, things that's going to be anti-carcinogenic, anti-cancer effects, all those things like that is going to help you. So first and foremost, you want to start adding color to your diet. And you could do that by starting adding more green vegetables. You could start by doing that by adding more fruits in. Fruits are the easiest way because they come in so many different colors. Most of the time we say green vegetables, that's one way, but there's also, you know, you could do eggplants, you could do tomatoes. I'm trying to think of another good color. You could do carrots, you could do red peppers in your food. So give you more colors, minimum of three colors on your plate at all times, okay? So that is going to help. Number two is that I always tell people, you got to have, if you want to do it, you have a starch, a vegetable, and a protein, right? So that makes it a little easier. And your vegetable cannot be corn or potatoes because I put that under the realm of starch. So if you're going to have a starch or a grain, then you got to have a vegetable and a protein with it. And that will help balance out the meal even more. So we're just talking about meals right now. We're not even talking about supplements that you can take. But just in the meals, if you eliminate, you understand that potatoes and corn is not a vegetable. It is considered a starch. So you have that goes into your grain category. So you have to have a grain / starch, one of those, one vegetable, and one protein source. That balances the meal out. And that in itself will help you a lot more when it comes down to dealing with blood pressure issues as well as diabetes because it's just diversifying your food and you're getting more colors in. Also, avoiding processed foods. A lot of people don't know, especially when it comes down to blood pressure. Just take an example of spaghetti sauce. People love spaghetti, right? You know, I love spaghetti. I love it. You know, we eat it. My wife almost makes it every Wednesday. That's a running joke. But we love spaghetti. But you ever notice how much sodium is in spaghetti sauce? One bottle is like a day and a half worth of sodium. But the average person doesn't pay attention to that. One bottle of spaghetti sauce is equivalent to almost a day and a half of sodium. So if we're not – and then people season their spaghetti sauce. So sometimes you could almost have 2 days of sodium in one meal. So it comes down to really reading the labels to avoid the excess of sodium that comes in food. Processed foods, the way they allow processed foods to sit on the shelf longer, as well as it to improve the flavor, is to add more and more salt. If they're not adding more and more salt, they're adding more and more sugar. So if you reduce your processed foods a lot, that's going to make a major difference. That means things that come in. I always say if you can avoid canned, avoid it. That's the best thing in the world. Avoid canned. If you can't get fresh, get frozen at least. But I prefer you to get fresh if possible. So avoiding as much processed food as you can, that's going to help. And reduce the amount of times you eat out. And cook more at home. And that also will help with blood pressure, definitely blood pressure and the diabetes, because more than likely most people don't add as much salt as the companies do. When you're seasoning your food, you season it. But, you know, if people really understood how much salt was in the food, they really would be like, whoa, that's a lot. That's a lot of sodium. If people understood how much sugar was like in a soda, you know, average soda has, 45 grams of sugar? What's that like? If you really think about it, that's like 9 spoonfuls because the average spoonful is about 5 grams. So 9 spoonfuls of sugar in one soda. If people actually seen that, how much sugar was in that soda, they would probably give them hesitation. So those are things that we can do in the beginning to start to combat the occurrence of blood pressure in our community and diabetes in our community. And it's so much more far as exercising, far as making sure we don't, reduce stress. I always tell people, listen, if you can't go to the gym, just go for a walk, you know. It helps lower your blood pressure. It reduces your blood sugar levels, and it helps your body deal with stress. And we can all do that. And it gets you moving. So if you can't go to the gym, go for a walk. Give yourself a good 30-minute brisk walk. That will make a major, major difference in that. So those are some of the things we could do. And then we could get into the herbs and the foods and the nutrition itself if need be. But those are some of the major things we can do. Everybody can do. Everybody can do those things.
And brother, I do. And I always tell people, when you go to the supermarket, first aisle you see is the produce section, the most colorful section in the supermarket. So it's letting you know this is what you're supposed to be buying first. Any supermarket you go to, you know that. And you worked in Whole Foods, you've seen those places. It's always the produce when you enter. And that's where you find all the colors of the rainbow right there. So you can really supply yourself with all the different colors right in that section alone. So I always suggest people do most of your shopping in the produce department, okay?
I agree.
And then, you know, if you're buying processed foods, like you said, read the labels because there's a lot of sodium. Not only that, they might buy something, like you said, with pasta sauce, and you see all that sodium in there. And then on top of that, they might be eating another meal, some other food, and they pour more salt on something else, especially table salt, regular table salt. So you're getting a double whammy. So that's why, you know, you have to be very careful, but incorporate the fruit. And, oh, so I know I always suggest to people, Brother Abdul, especially if they have high blood pressure, eat apples. Apples are high in fiber, and it really reduces your blood pressure. And the old saying, apple a day keeps the doctor away. I tell people, eat two apples a day. So what are your suggestions as far as the best foods for high blood pressure, and what supplements would you suggest?
Well, the best foods for high blood pressure is usually going to be your potassium-rich foods. So you gave a good example, like an apple. Like an apple a day keeps the doctor away. That is absolutely true. You just need to eat a little more apples. But we don't eat enough potassium. You know, they say about, what, like 80% of Americans don't eat enough, get enough potassium in. And it's a reason. If you're not getting enough fruits and vegetables, you're not getting enough potassium. We need about, I think, what, 4,000 milligrams or something like that, a high amount of potassium every day. And the average person is probably getting maybe 2,000 to 3,000. We're not getting enough potassium. Potassium is the counterbalance to sodium. And God has made it in which the things that's rich in potassium is also the things that's the most healthy for you, and that is fruits and vegetables. So you said apples. You can do grapes. You can do bananas. Everybody loves bananas and things like that. You can do kiwi is really rich in potassium. I'm trying to think of something else. You can also do during the summertime, one of the best things is watermelon. Watermelon not only gives you a tremendous amount of potassium and good, clean water that's in it that hydrates the body. But watermelon is also rich in lycopene. That's also really good for dealing with your dealing with blood pressure. You also have things like what else? I'm trying to think of another good fruit that's also good. Oh, cucumber is excellent for dealing with blood pressure issues. You can eat foods like garlic, herbs like onion, herbs like rosemary. That's really good. Sage is really good for dealing with blood pressure and things like that. Then you have herbs like hawthorn berry. That's really good for reducing and relaxes the arteries. So it helps take some of that pressure off. You can also do foods like beets. Now, I know everybody is into beets right now because they heard beets helps the body produce naturally occurring nitric oxide. So you can take beets. It's better not to eat them. It's actually better to drink them to get the nitric oxide effect because the process actually happens in the mouth with the probiotics, the bacteria in the mouth, how they convert it. So actually drinking and juicing beets is really good for dealing with blood pressure. So you have things like that. Another good supplement that you can use is a supplement called grape seed extract. Grape seed extract also helps reduce the pressure off the arterial walls. So it's extremely effective. It's a powerful antioxidant, and that's also really good. And you could do, like, superfoods like goji berries and African superfood called baobab that's extremely rich in potassium, magnesium, and things like that. And foods that's also rich in magnesium also help. Magnesium is it's a mineral that relaxes the heart. It's a mineral that relaxes the muscles. It's a mineral that calms the brain. It is a natural muscle relaxer. So eating foods rich in magnesium, like your quinoa, your funyo, your millet, your brown rice, your blackstrap molasses, and things like that. These things are really, really good for you. And these things can counteract dealing with blood pressure issues and reducing that sodium. And sodium is not salt, people, okay? Reducing salt, because sodium is essential. Salt is different. So sodium is Na and salt is NaCl. So, but we need to reduce the salt out of our diet. Not saying you have to get rid of it completely, but reduce it down and consume much more potassium-rich foods. And these things will make you much, much healthier. And remember this, people, you also have to drink water. I'm coming and finding more and more people are not drinking enough water throughout the day. And that helps flush the kidneys. That helps flush the excess of sodium out the body. And it also makes you feel better and gives you energy and everything else like that. So consuming those fruits and vegetables, consuming those herbs like garlic, onion, rosemary, consuming supplements like grape seed extract, hawthorn berry, I'm trying to think of some other ones, hibiscus. You know, everybody likes, you know, if you come from the West Indies, they call it sorrel, you know, but everybody likes drinking red Zinga tea. Well, it's red because it's an herb and they call hibiscus. So hibiscus is extremely good for helping to protect the heart and also help deal with blood pressure issues and things like that. And there's so many other herbs, but those are a couple right there.
So, brother, okay, go ahead, Rashad. I wanted to ask the brother, if you, Rashad, right quick, and then you chime in behind me if you don't mind, brother. Brother Abdul, there's a friend of mine, and he's listening. Let me tell you what he did. He did a 21-day vegan challenge, all right? The brother did 21 days without eating any type of flesh food. Now, what happened was, I guess after the 21 days, he went back to what we call the SAD diet, okay, the standard American diet. The brother, I forgot what the time frame is. He might want to speak on it a little later on if he wants to come in. What happened was he got admitted into the he took himself to the emergency room because his blood pressure shot up. He already had blood pressure. But by the time he was on the vegan diet, right, he said he didn't feel bloated and he felt much better. But when he went back to eating meat, his pressure shot up so high he had to take himself to the emergency room. What went wrong there?
That could be just his body was detoxing and now it put back the toxins back in his body. It could be a number of things that could have caused that, because sometimes that happens. When somebody, if you go on a vegan diet a lot of times, your body goes through the process of flushing and cleansing itself of a lot of waste material. So it's like, you know, it's like a shock to go back into the body. And sometimes when the body is in shock, one of the main things it does is it raises blood pressure. It can give you, it can make you feel sick, like you're literally having like a fever and all them other things when the body goes into shock. So that's what it sounds like his body did to him. A lot of times going on a vegan diet is an excellent way to get the body, to reset the body, to get the body back into good health. I always say veganism is not necessarily for everyone, but everyone should try to get close to it as much as possible. I'm a firm believer in being plant-based. So I am not a vegan, so I will not sit here and tell somebody, do it or don't do it. I just say try your best to be plant-based. I was vegan for a whole year. I was cool with it. It was no big thing, but I was like, okay, I like to be more plant-based. And that means you're eating majority of your meals come from plants. I can go 2 or 3 weeks without having any animal products in my system, and it doesn't bother me at all. And then I can turn around and have some fish or something like that. But I am a firm believer in plant-based diet. I'm a firm believer. That means majority of your food comes from plant sources. And if you can do that, it makes a difference. Because if, like you said, your friend did a vegan diet. When you do a vegan diet or when you go anywhere like that, it forces you to eat foods that you usually don't usually eat, because you're used to eating, oh, I'm going to eat this, I'm going to eat that, your usual meal. But when you go vegan, you say, man, I got it. Oh, okay, I got to get this because I can't eat no meat products. I can't eat no cheese. I got to avoid this bread because this bread has dairy in it. So it forces you. You end up going more and more towards plants, and plants are the healers of our body. So if you force to go to things that heal you, you will feel better. And as you go back to the things that made you sick, you will feel bad. And that's as simple as that.
That's probably what happened, right. Rashad, go right ahead, brother. I'm sorry. I had to ask Brother Abdul that.
Well, Abdul is correct. You know, I call myself a plantarian. not really a vegan, but a plantarian, because every meal is plant-based, basically, you know. And but I wanted just to ask you to touch, and before you answer the question, I wanted you to touch on millet and quinoa, because some listeners probably don't even know what millet and quinoa is, but I just want to share this story. Back in 1990, when I was doing my photography, this gentleman came up to me, and a very vibrant person. He was short, very vibrant, looked good, and he needed a picture for some ID. So I did his picture, and we were talking, and I said, you look pretty good. I said, you know, you're very vibrant and everything. And so I was asking him, what's your diet like? He said, well, my diet is basically millet. He said, I would go to the health food store and buy me a 100-pound bag of millet, and I would eat a lot of millet. Now, I asked him, well, how old are you? He was 100 years old. And I'm telling you, he looked nothing like 100 years old. And he showed me the ID and everything. But he said millet was his main meal, because we know millet is an African grain.
Yeah.
And this was African-American brother. So could you just touch on millet and quinoa? Because, like I said, some listeners may not even know what millet and quinoa is and the benefits of millet and quinoa.
Okay, so, Brother Rashad, you may actually be more versed in this one than me, but millet is a grain, but it's actually almost like a seed. It's a small yellow seed that it's grown in Africa. And millet is really rich in B vitamins. It's really high in amino acids, so it gives you a lot of good protein. It's rich in magnesium, iron, calcium, and things like that. So it's a super grain if you really want to think about it like that. And it's gluten-free, and it's easily digested. So it's great for the body. And same thing with quinoa. It's in that same type of family that's rich in your proteins, quinoa actually has antioxidant benefits to it. And these grains, so what happens is in America, we're used to only eating maybe two grains. It's either wheat or three grains, wheat, oat, or rice, where there's so many more grains. And when you get into a plant-based diet, it almost, like I said, it sometimes forces you to think outside the box and go and try other things. Like, you know, there's not only oats, rice, and wheat. You have millet. You have quinoa. You have amaranth. You have another African grain that's becoming very popular, fonio. You also have rye. We only hear rye only in rye bread, but rye is actually a grain. You have buckwheat. You have oat groat, the actual whole oat. So there's so much more. What else, Brother Rashad? I'm trying to think. Buckwheat, you got, I can't even think of everything. Teff, yes, teff. And these are all different grains that you can cook and make them and then substitute them for rice. Some of these grains you could cook for breakfast in the morning. So there's many different things that you can do, and you're going to get very nutrient-dense foods that a lot of them are gluten-free, so it doesn't damage the celiac of the intestines. It is also very good for us. It's usually higher in minerals than your typical rices and things like that. And it, you know, it says it gives you satiety. So it doesn't spike the blood sugar the same exact way. These grains are actually really rich in fiber too. So one of the things we have in our community, we eat a lot of processed foods, but we also eat grains that stripped of their actual fibrous material. So it spikes our blood sugar, and it causes us to have these issues when it comes down to like a diabetes and things of that nature. So these are things that we can add into our diet, these other grains that is actually taste. Some of them, I think they taste personally, like millet, I think is incredible. So millet and quinoa, most people have heard of quinoa now, but millet, quinoa, and if you could get into fonio, it's a little different. I'm trying to get my wife to really get into it, but I like fonio, and, You know, it's like grains like that. And my brother cooks teff for breakfast in the morning. So these things are really good, and they make you feel much better. And they don't spike the blood sugar the same exact way if you was to eat rice or anything like that. And even if you was to eat oatmeal, avoid the minute oatmeal. Get back into rolled oats or do the steel-cut oats, because you're getting more of the oat and you're reducing, keeping your blood sugar much more stabilized. And those are things you can do. Even when it comes down to dealing with diabetes, you know, diabetes, it's a tremendous amount of inflammation in the body, and you get a lot of inflammation in your beta cells of the pancreas that actually causes your insulin to not work as effectively, and you become less and less insulin sensitive. And there are foods, but there are definitely nutrients that can make you insulin sensitive. One of the best things for making you insulin sensitive is actually doing exercise. If you exercise, you become more insulin sensitive at the time, especially doing weight training exercises. So I always tell my diabetics, hey, not only do cardio, lift some weights. It makes a difference. It literally causes the muscle cells to be more insulin sensitive, shoots that glucose out of that blood right into that muscle fibers, and use that muscle for energy, that glucose for energy. So exercising, especially weight training exercises, make you more insulin sensitive. There are nutrients like chromium picolinate or chromium itself, or you could do chromium picolinate, or another form of chromium is called GTF chromium. That stands for glucose tolerance factor chromium. This is another one that actually helps you become more insulin sensitive. There's another supplement out there or a mineral called vanadium. It comes in the form of a natural sulfate, or you could just give vanadium. It's called vanadyl sulfate. This makes you more insulin sensitive. Okay, and then there's foods that you can do or spices that you can do. Most people have heard of you heard of cinnamon. Cinnamon is excellent for helping to control and help maintain healthy blood sugar levels. Okay, but you want to do the real cinnamon. Okay, so cinnamon cassia that we think of cinnamon is actually not true cinnamon. It's actually a hybrid. It's not a real cinnamon. The real cinnamon is called Ceylon cinnamon. Okay, and that has been shown to really help you with blood sugar levels. Another food that you can eat, and my West Indian people and my Indian people may have heard of this, is called karaili or karaila. If you come from India, it's called karaila. If you come from West Indies, they call it the karaili, like Jamaica and all them other places. It's better known in America as bitter melon. It looks like a cucumber that's beat up and got bumps on there. And it's bitter, but it's called bitter melon. It's extremely good for helping to control blood sugar levels. And then you have some other things like herbs like huckleberry tea. They always say God has provided for the sweetness. At the same time, he gives you something to control it. So usually the leaves of the fruit trees help control blood sugar levels. So blueberry leaf is extremely good. Huckleberry leaf is extremely good. Mulberry leaf is extremely good for blood sugar levels. You could do an African herb. It's called moringa. I know most people have heard of moringa. Moringa is another bitter herb that also helps with getting blood sugars under control a little better. And there's some other things. We can go into guava leaf and all them other things. But those are some of the things you can do that help with that. But the key is that you got to get the exercise down. You got to get the refined carbohydrates down. And we got to eat more clean foods, and that will definitely help.
And
of course,
about that, Ceylon cinnamon, for people who may want to know how to spell it, it's Ceylon. It's from the country Ceylon. So just in case, you know, people don't know how to spell or that word there. And the other thing, you mentioned celiac disease. There's a connection between wheat and celiac disease, isn't it, Abdul?
Yeah. Well, they find that, celiac disease is usually a gluten intolerance. And what happens is you have these things in your intestines called microvilli, and they stand up. They like these little, I would like to say, finger-like structures, right? And what happens is gluten is a massive protein structure that comes from wheat. And people don't understand how gluten is. Gluten is, this is a hybridized wheat. This is not the original wheat, like kamut. That was another grain, kamut. Kamut and spelt is another wheat. But these are non-hybridized wheats, right? The hybridized wheat that we have has more and more gluten in there. It makes it better for bread. It's much more stretchy and all that, and it tastes great. But the problem is this wheat is extremely difficult to digest. Your body wasn't meant to digest this type of gluten. So what happens is that goes through. Think of it as being like the blob, and you have these fingers standing up. What happens is this wheat comes and pushes down these microvilli in your intestines. And that doesn't seem like a bad thing, but that's the way your body absorbs nutrition. These little fingers help you absorb nutrition. And this blob comes down and pushes these microvilli down, and they damage it, and they make it less and less able to absorb. And you start to have these issues, not just celiac disease. You start to have bloating. You start to have gas. You start to have brain fog. You start to have all these things that comes from excessive amounts of gluten. So most people have some type of gluten intolerance. I didn't think I had it until I realized that every time I ate a Subway sandwich that I got, my stomach was blowing up. I'm like, what is going on? My stomach is like swelling up, and I couldn't understand what it was. But it's this foot-long patty I'm having that has all this bread, and every time I ate it, it would blow up my stomach. And that's what it was. It was the wheat. So when I avoided wheat, it went away. So that's what happens when it comes down to gluten. That's why a lot of people have problems with gluten. It's not the grain. It wasn't originally the grain. It was because we've changed the plant to be more and more what we want. The problem is nature is not like that. Nature just doesn't – your body doesn't change that fast. So our bodies cannot adapt to the way we change wheat in the last 100, 150 years, really in the last 100 years or so. So that's the problem with gluten, that most people have with gluten. So sometimes you can eat a sandwich, all of a sudden you just get tired. All of a sudden you feel sleepy, you feel foggy, and it's not because you had a big sandwich. It could be because of the gluten that's in that sandwich that's causing that issue. So those are some of the things.
Hey, quick question, my brother. I had a physical therapist, gentleman, nice guy from Ghana. His name is Manny. He claimed he's an herbalist, but he's my physical therapist. So when I was there and I was getting my massage, because, you know, I had a little fender bender, you know, trying to get the money, you know. And the brother said, I got something for you. I said, what is it? He said, next time you come back, I'll have it for you. So he said, I'm going to give you this Percocet. I said, no, I'll mess with that stuff. But he said, no, it's not that Percocet. And he gave it to me. It looks like you were talking about the bitter melon. It's like a tree bark, it looks like. But he said it starts with a P, and he got it from, I know you're familiar with Corona over there on South Orange Avenue. You got it from King. I know Brother King over there. But he said the name was Percocet, and I'm looking at the name, and the way it was spelled, it's like Kiwa. Most people would look for Kiwa. It's not spelled with a K, it's spelled with a Q.
Yeah, Q,
so,
yeah.
Now this brother gave it to me, and I said, it started with a P. I said, you sure that the pronunciation for this word is Percocet? He said, this is Percocet. So are you familiar with that? It's brown in color, and it's hard. He said, just soak it, let it steep, and he said, drink it after it steeps for a while. It's like brownish in color in the water.
But what's the name? I'm not familiar with a herb called Percocet.
I think the brother's just mispronunciating. It might have been his accent.
I think, yeah. Is it bark? It's not polyalco, right? But what was it for?
It might be it, but you know what? No, he says good for. I said, what is this good for? He says, good for everything. Everything comes from Africa.
No. No one thing is good for everything.
I know. You know what? I'll get, because I got it here. He gave it to me. It's just a nice gesture, but he said he got it from Corona. But what I'll do is, because I have your number, I'll give you the correct spelling for it, because you might have it over there at Isle of May. And I also want to ask you another question. We're talking about rice. You mentioned brown rice. What about the black rice?
So black rice is better. Wild rice is the best. So wild rice is the real rice. You know, wild rice is even better. And that is black, but wild rice is better. I'm not against someone eating rice. Like, or I'm against people, we consuming the same thing over and over again. I'm against white rice.
Oh, yeah, most definitely.
You know,
right.
But I'm not against brown rice. I'm not against black rice. I'm not against wild rice. Wild rice is not even, if you ever have wild rice, it's not even the same texture as the other rices. It's different. And that's the way it actually was found in nature before we've changed it and everything else. But I'm a firm believer in variety. I think, as they say, was it variety is the spice of life, right? Well, it's the same way when it comes down to your food, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So if you get a variety of these different things, you're getting different nutrients, and it makes your food not so not boring. You know,
right.
When you're having this grain this day, you're having millet this day, you're having some quinoa this day, you're having maybe some brown rice on top of chili this day. You it becomes variety and it becomes exciting. Food is boring because people are making it boring. Even though we're in a time in which we have an opportunity to eat so many different types of food. You know, one thing I can say about America, we are blessed that, especially in the East Coast, that we have access to almost anything we want when it comes down to food. So if you educate yourself on the good food, you could get great meals.
Mmm, yum, yum.
All right, on that note, Brother Leon, you still there?
Yeah, Brother Leon. I'm still here. Yeah, I'm still
okay,
here,
okay. Did you have any questions for Brother Abdul? You want to make a comment? We got 5 minutes left, brother. I ain't forget about
it. No.
Go ahead.
No, brother. That was good. His presentation is definitely good.
Okay. All right, real quick, we might be able to take one call if somebody hits the number one button, family out there. Jay, do we have anybody calling in? Number one button? Hit the love button, like my man Patrick Delve said. The love button.
No, nobody else. There's a lot of people
took notes
on the line, but nobody.
They listen. All right, so they must be taking notes. Sometimes they listen, sometimes they ask questions. It depends on the topic, Brother Abdul. Because, you know, Rashad has been here with me from day one, so basically he breaks down a lot of their health and nutrition. So,
Brother Rashad is great.
Oh, yeah, that's hey, brother, it's my main man right here. But on that note, what I'm going to say also is if you have any contact information or if people in the area want to come see you, brother, you can give them that information. And I'm going to make a stop up there because the last time, in fact, I think I shared with you, brother, we had the gentleman who puts out the product, Food Grade Peroxide, Kevin McMorrow. He came on last week, and he was talking about the science with Food Grade Peroxide. In fact, Brother Leon went out and got some. He's down in Atlantic City, you know. So I use that periodically, you know, in my water, you know. And also, we got, I don't know, are you familiar with Stan White from the B&S Mastermind Forum? He's known as a bunny.
I've heard the name before. I'm not too familiar, but I've heard that name before.
Yeah, well, Stan does the ionized water. He's coming on the 19th. His niece just opened up a cafe, and my technician attested this. The food is so good up there. The brother went on Friday, he returned Saturday to get a wrap. It's up in Bloomfield. You might have heard of it. Just opened up. Sister Nakia runs it. It's called Cell Power. It's on Montgomery Street in Bloomfield. Yeah.
I'll be there this week.
Well, they got some good food. Jay will tell you. That's my technician. He'll tell you. And also, everybody knows about Blueberry Cafe. No, because I had Genesis on, and he was talking about healthy cooking. In fact, the sister's coming on the 19th with Stan, who happens to be her uncle. And she's going to talk about healthy cooking. But, brother, you know, since we bumped heads, you know, because she had to look at my Facebook page and say, oh, I know that, brother. we definitely gonna bring you back, brother. You know what I'm saying? And you know you're going to see Rashad. He's right up there in your neck of the woods, you know? So,
yeah, he comes there all the time. That's my, you know, I'm cool with his son.
I used to always run into the brother. I smoke my shows downtown North. That's how I got to know Brother Rashad. We used to always talk down there. We had the little backdrops down there at Woolworths, you know, when Woolworths was Woolworths back in the day, you know. But
okay.
On that note, brother, if you have any contact information, Brother Abdul, please give it to the podcast audience.
If they want to reach out to me, I'm always at Olive May Health Food in East Orange, New Jersey. I'm there 9:30 to 6 o'clock. Telephone number 973-673-7306. Once again, that's 973-673-7306. I've been doing this for a while, people, so you know I'm not new to it.
With the presentation you gave, anybody who would think other than that, all right, then they what can I say? They got it miscombobulated, you know. So with that being said, brother, I just want to say thank you for coming on. We're going to bring you back, you know, and I just want to say peace and blessings to you and your family. And on behalf of course, Brother Rashad and Brother Leon, and also Sister Ali, because we want to bring her back, I want to thank you for coming on tonight. I really appreciate you, brother.
All right, no problem at all, my brother.
All right, you
thank
take
you.
Care. All right, and also, Jay, don't clap him out, because I'm going to end with this. Ladies and gentlemen, I just want to say once again, thank you for your support with the green tea. All right, the most potent form of green tea that's out here. All right, go to my Facebook page. Also, Brother Rashad, you want to give out your contact information, brother?
Yes, I always give the same number out, which is 973-673-0699. Only call during the weekdays, afternoons or evenings.
Okay, and with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, also you got Brother Leon from Atlantic City, all right? He's getting his contact information together. He's going to have it on next week in case you want to reach out to the brother. Down that way. And also, my technician, Randy J. Sean Jackson, every Friday between 8 and 10, it's called Keeping It Real. Tune in with him. In the meantime, y'all have a safe week. Peace and blessings. See you next Saturday.
Peace and blessings.